This morning, we will discuss what's new in ebooks and apps with our tech guru, Jesse Feiler, who joins us on the telephone this morning. Jesse is an app developer, consultant, trainer, and author. His books include iOS 6 Foundations and the forthcoming Sam's Teach Yourself Objective-C 2nd Edition, which I assume is already out, right?
No.
Oh, okay. It is still forthcoming? Good. His just not good for you, but just good for that I'm accurate. His apps include Minutes Machine, the iPod-based app for managing meetings, agendas, and minutes, and Saranac River Trail app, and he can be reached at northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, it's always a pleasure to have you with us.
Good to be here.
Thank you very much for joining us, as you always do. So we just had Liza Donnelly on. She has a brand new ebook. It is the way we were just talking about how wonderful it is to see her artwork and her cartoons in an ebook fashion. I also stated my overall concern about ebooks and somewhat, but what do you think is going on there, and how is it looking?
going on with ebooks in general?
Yes.
Well, there's a whole bunch of links that I put on my website. It's sort of the year-end roundups and stats that are going on. It looks as if the whole publishing market, at least temporarily, has adjusted to ebooks, and we now know what sells in ebooks, and it seems to be pretty stable from year to year. And what the big news is in a number of these articles is that it's the so-called genres that sell in ebooks. Mysteries, thrillers, romance novels, Christian fiction. Some of those categories, in terms of dollars, there's a Random House editor quoted as saying 60 to 70% of the revenue in those categories is coming from ebooks.
Wow.
Which is very interesting. There are also some interesting comments from a group of people who turn out to be very interesting, at least to me, and those are the people who read both ebooks and print books. And I thought, I know other people do that, but I thought I approached that differently from other people. But it turns out a lot of people do this the way I do. And that is to say, certain types of books we read on ebooks, and other types of books we read on paper, and we want to have them on the shelf.
And I'll do you one more. There's some people, myself, who like to do both.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is
you're meaning with the same book. So I will go and I'll buy a copy of a book in a bookstore, and then I'll get a copy of it through my bookstore that I can get on my tablet, so I can have it in any form, because sometimes I like reading the book, and sometimes I want to be able to highlight it and look at different things and really get involved in it.
Yeah, but it's interesting that we're finding this out, and I have discovered that I buy the same book on paper and on ebooks sometimes because I have learned the hard way not to lend books.
You make a great point.
And ebooks solve that issue.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. And you always have them there. And there are the qualities to them that I love, that I use all the time. I am very careful with my books. I'm a person who loves to keep books and to have them on the shelf and have them in a very pristine manner. Many are signed. I love that aspect to it. But what I love about ebooks is that I can highlight them, passages that I love. I'm reading Donna Tartt's Goldfinch now, and the thing is just filled with me highlighting and making little notes and using that define button of, oh, what does that word mean in this context? What is this foreign word I've never heard? And pressing that button and having it defined for me. I love that.
Yeah, and I think both formats for different types of materials work very well. I was looking something up in one of my printed books and had never noticed before, until stuff fell out, how much I put into books, clippings. I sort of use it as a filing system. I also, I obviously do a great deal with travel books, where I have, you know, admission tickets and so forth.
You also, you point out that, and you have an article, which is that the tablet magazines are having a real trouble. They're virtually dead.
Not everyone agrees with that, but there is an article there that they're, you know, not long for this world. And the point that they make in this article is that the reason the author thinks the tablet magazines are not working is because what the publishers are doing is taking the printed magazine and running it through a little thing that converts it to something that you can read on a tablet.
Right.
Which is actually the way e-books generally are produced today. They take the laid out pages from a book, run it through software, and out the back end comes a Nook version, a Kindle version, and an iBooks version. But the page layout is the critical moment. And the point with magazines, he said, is people don't want to read what comes out the back end on a tablet. What they want to read on a tablet is something that is built for a tablet. And I'm one of the people who argues the same about printed books, that we should not be laying out pages and then either printing them or sending them to ebook formats. We should instead be taking the fully edited book and at that point separating it into going to tablets or smartphones on one side and on the other side to print, because it means that everything that we do, or most of what we do to accommodate the limitations of print, winds up in the ebook. And that's the pagination stuff, the stuff that the New York Times is perhaps one of the worst offenders of this.
How so?
Because if you read an article on the New York Times apps, and they're very, very good, they're good articles and they're good apps, but you will frequently come across a sentence along the lines or a phrase along the lines of, in the photo above left, you see Queen Elizabeth having tea with the Pope. Queen Elizabeth is on the left, the Pope is on the right. In the photo above right, you see something else, and the photos aren't there in the ebook. Or in the articles, usually there's one photo per article for the New York Times. So we have all of these things that aren't there. We've still got the words, you know, the references to these images, but the images aren't there. And that happens when you take the laid out pages and convert them. So I think there's this idea that maybe these magazines on tablets, for that reason, may be at the end of their lifespan. And then one of the other things we came up with in looking at what's going on is the rise of what they call freemium apps, which are apps that publish information. And something like 77% of the revenues from apps in the last year came from apps that are free, where you pay for the content.
Okay, so explain that. What is a freemium?
A freemium says the app is free and you pay for the content.
Okay, so you get the gateway to the information and you pay for the individual information.
Right. And the example that the Times had in the article that's posted is of an app that publishes horoscopes. And they went from a model where they sold the app and then you got access to the horoscopes to the freemium one where the app is free and you pay for each horoscope. You pay for 99 cents per day or $50 for the year. And that changes the business model. The change made many people unhappy, but if you start with that model, it seems to work better. People understand it. They're paying for the content.
They like to have the idea of it, but then you pay for what you want.
Yeah.
One of the other things that you talk about is that so a very small percentage are apps that are paid for outright, and then a slightly larger but still relatively small that are paid with an in-app purchase, right?
Right.
And that makes up about a quarter of the market.
Yes.
But only a quarter.
Yeah. And three quarters are this freemium model, which has really caught on in a big way this year. And the reason I'm putting these things together with ebooks is because it's really, these are both models of publishing.
Mm.
One is the very book page-based model of ebooks, and the other is the more dynamic digital model of apps. But we're all publishing information or stories or whatever it is. They're all publishing models. And I think over the next few years, things are going to shake down. And I don't know if one style is going to win out over the other or if we'll just live with both of them.
And when it comes to independent bookstores and self-publishing, well, at least self-publishing, the indie bookstores are really leading the way.
Yeah. Well, the indie bookstores, as well as Amazon and iBooks, because they have major outreach, not only to small presses, but to individual publishers.
Meaning, we can pretty much get our hands on anything we want, right?
No, I think the only thing that's fair to say is you can get your hands on many things you don't want, but the one thing you're looking for, you can't find.
Well, then what have we solved? That was always the case, wasn't it?
But then what you can do is, since you can't find what it is that you want, then you sit down and you have to decide, okay, I'll write it. Is it going to be a book? Is it going to be an app? But you can do that.
Yeah. But what I meant is, I remember years ago when, you know, you move from one town to another. I moved from Philadelphia to upstate New York. And there were those books that were local books. And you couldn't get those anywhere around here. And you had to call up the bookstore and they had to put them in a mail and send it to you. Well, now you can just go on and get them. And you sort of, the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
And that is nice.
That is very nice. And as soon as you get into the digital world, I still am amazed at what happens with Minutes Machine. I remember distinctly the first time I saw a sales report with sales outside the U.S. and Canada. And I think Argentina was the first the first country outside the U.S. and Canada. And England, because I have cousins in England, so I discount that. They're just being nice. But I don't know anyone in Argentina.
So they're actually using it.
Yeah, and it is a worldwide marketplace. And the other thing that's exciting about apps and the app route is that with books, I get royalty statements. Everyone gets royalty statements periodically, sometimes quarterly, sometimes monthly, sometimes 6 months monthly. In the digital world, for apps and for ebooks, you get the information from yesterday.
Mm.
And that's a major change.
Well, there are certainly, we look forward to another year with you sort of bringing us up to date of the twists and turns of our tech world. Jesse Feiler provides consulting information and services to small businesses and nonprofits through North Country Consulting. You can find out more by going to northcountryconsulting.com. You can find the information on our website as well, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Jesse Feiler, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. It's always a delight to have you with us, and I look forward to our next conversation in the new year.
I look forward to it, too.
Thank you very much, Jesse. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.